Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Today we celebrate the third Sunday of Ordinary Time. And, you know, we heard in our first reading from Isaiah, as well as in the Gospel, about this land of Zebulun and Naphtali. What's up with that? Zebulun and Naphtali were tribes of Israel, and they were decimated when the Persians came in and destroyed everything. And so, therefore, they were having a bad time, dark days. You know, they had this gloom about this region. And yet Isaiah was predicting brighter times ahead, the light that would come to the people in darkness. In our gospel, we have Jesus leaving after John had been arrested. Now, some people might say, was he running away from Herod because he was afraid he was going to be arrested? No. Because actually, Zebulun and Naphtali were part of Herod's domain as well. So that's not why he went there. But you think about it, it certainly did fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. But more than that, this area was really populated by Jews and Gentiles. It was a kind of a crossroads of commerce. You know, the traders would come and go through that region, and there were, well, a lot of different cultures and people mixing in that area. Certainly the Gentiles were there in force along with the Jews, but there were probably more Gentiles than Jews. Interesting that Jesus went there. But you think about it, those people were used to conversing, trading certainly with Gentiles and Jews with products and whatever goods they might have, but also trading and their ideas and their words, and there was communication going on. And I believe that's why Jesus went there. Their minds and our hearts were really open to hear the gospel message. You know, that they need to repent and to prepare because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So when you think about it, perfect place for Jesus to go. And then, of course, the next thing happens, and he goes and does. He preaches the gospel, but then the next thing you know, he's going down along the shore, and he sees Peter and Andrew, you know, casting their nets. And he says to them, you know, I can make you fishers of men. And if you follow me, they drop their nets, follow Jesus. Wow. Then they go a little bit further. Here's John and James. Now they're with their father in their boat, and Jesus calls them, follow me. They left the boat and their father, gone. And you think to yourself, wow, that's impressive. Talk about charisma. I mean, Jesus had it. But I think there was something else that sometimes we don't think about. We think, well, that happened right after, they just happened right away. We don't know how long Jesus was in that area before he called Peter and Andrew, James and John. They very likely could have heard him speak and were, you know, enriched by the words he gave and shared that gospel message with them, and their hearts were on fire. So when Jesus came and called to them, wow, he's inviting me to go with him. I'm in. And so they followed him and began this journey of faith. Interesting. Because what we find here is that Jesus was really into collaboration with all of humanity. But he needed those 12 to be the front men. They're the ones that were going to go out. He's only one man. He can speak to 5,000 at a time, but, you know, they go on. And they need to go beyond all of that. So it was to get people, not because they had any particular skills, but they were available, and they were open-minded, and their hearts were open, and their ears were open to hear the word of God in their own lives. That's what made the apostles who they are. Not them, but Jesus working through them. Now, 2,000 years have gone by. How does this affect you and me? Well, here's the good news. Jesus is still calling us to bring the good news forward. So I Do we need a special phone, maybe a spiritual cell phone? Well, that would be nice. You know, keep it turned on and put it on the ring loud thing, because otherwise you might miss the call, you know? But the reality is, Jesus is calling us. But we need to respond. We need to be listening for that call. And it's not going to be coming over the telephone line or the cell phone, and probably not coming up and say, I know you're just casting that net. I've got a job for you. It's not going to come like that. It's going to come from an invitation to someone around us, maybe in church, maybe at work, maybe, who knows, maybe a wife or a husband reaches out trying to bring us to the next level. Perhaps, maybe, you could bring the Word of God forward. And it's not just a matter of what we say, as much as it is what we do and how we do it. Filled with love. I don't care whether you're a housemaker, or a bricklayer, or a ditch digger, or a golfer. Of course, in my case, it'd be the same as a ditch digger, but that is what it is. It doesn't matter. But what is important is the attitude of what you and how you do those things. Grateful to God's grace in your lives. That is what we need to have. So today, on this third Sunday of ordinary time, as we come to the altar, we might ask God's grace in our own lives, that we might hear his call and act on it to bring the love of God to the people who surround us in our own lives.
Our profession of faith. I believe in one God, Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible.